The item.
Item 96, refer a measure to city voters for the May 17, 2016 election authorizing the creation of a program dedicated to street repair and traffic safety through a temporary 10 cents per gallon tax on motor vehicle fuels in Portland for vehicles not subject to weight mile tax and create city code 17.105.
Mr. Novick.
Colleagues, citizens, this moment has been a long time coming. The city has known since at least 1987 that we were underinvesting in our streets. And every year that we have waited, the problem gets worse, because the longer you take to fix a street, the more expensive it is to fix it. We've also known that there are big parts of the city, particularly in Outer East and some parts of Southwest Portland, but other places too, where it's dangerous for kids to walk or bike to school, or for seniors to walk to bus stops, or for anybody to bike, walk, get to transit as safely as they should. What we're proposing here is to ask the voters to approve a four-year, 10-cent per gallon temporary gas tax in order to start addressing those two issues. We know from talking to a lot of individual Portlanders and from public opinion surveys that Portlanders care about both things. Portlanders want the streets repaired. They also want those safety issues addressed. This proposal would allocate somewhat more than half, to be precise, about 56% of the revenue over these 4 years, which we expect to be $16 million a year, to paving projects, and 44% to those safety projects, many of which have been talked about and desired by neighborhoods for years and years. The biggest chunk of the safety project money will be spent on safe routes to school projects, filling in sidewalk gaps, addressing dangerous intersections, making it easier for children to walk and bike to school. The project list can be found on our website. You can see how we're planning to spend the money. The safety projects are pretty much locked in stone. We might add a few if we have cost underruns. We might have to cut back on some if we have cost overruns. The street repair projects are not quite as cast in stone, because we go out and reevaluate the pavement every once in a while, and we might decide to shift some of that money around. But the percentage that goes to street repair as opposed to the safety projects will remain the same. There will be a citizen oversight committee that will review our spending as we go along over these 4 years. There's a couple other topics I want to touch on before turning to some amendments that we have and then turning it over to staff and our invited testimony. One is, some people ask, you have a $400 million general fund budget paid for by property taxes and other sources. Why can't you fix your street funding problems with that? And what it's important for people to know is that the general fund budget goes overwhelmingly to police, fire, parks, and housing, similar to other cities. That's why cities and counties around us, Washington County, Lake Oswego, Tigard, and Oregon City, have, over the past 20 years, adopted local transportation funding mechanisms, because they understood that the state and federal gas tax wasn't giving them enough money to address their streets, and they couldn't find the money they needed in their general fund either. So last year, this council, in fact, did dedicate more general fund, adjusted for inflation, to transportation than any council since 1985, because we had significant one-time funds. But we can't count on that every year. Another thing I wanted to mention is that you'll notice that this proposal exempts heavy trucks that pay the weight mile tax from this tax. That is not because we don't expect the heavy trucks to pay their fair share. I'm determined to make sure that they pay their fair share. The question is, how can we ensure that actually happens? How do we do it smart? Our concern was that there's one truck stop in Portland, the Jubitz truck stop. These heavy trucks travel long distances. They don't have to stop in Portland. So after discussing with the freight committee, we were concerned that if we attached the diesel tax to those long-haul trucks, they would simply skip Portland, wouldn't fill up here. We might put that truck stop out of business for no particularly good reason. So we were struggling with what to do about that. And then an old friend of mine named Brian Bowe, who used to work in this industry, suggested that we explore the possibility of something called a load fee, which is where we would assess a tax on diesel as it comes out of the big tanks on the Willamette River, which serve the whole region, which happened to be located in Portland. That struck us as a very interesting thing worth pursuing. We've asked the Freight Committee to assemble a subcommittee of folks to look at that option and other options for ensuring that freight pays its fair share. So stay tuned on what we do about ensuring that freight pays its fair share. It will happen. We're just exploring the mechanism. With that, I want to turn to some amendments that we want to put on the table. The first one is one I worked with Commissioner Fritz on. As my colleagues will remember, we've had a long discussion about the share of revenues from this tax, so we'll go to street repair and traffic safety. And this amendment clarifies that the ratio of 56% street repair, 44% traffic safety projects will remain the same regardless of whether our revenue estimates change. We will adjust our spending to reflect that ratio. The second amendment is a clarification about how certain tax refunds will operate that implement this, would implement our version of the state exemptions for certain vehicles, such as school buses. The third amendment amends the explanatory statement to address that 56%, 44% split and reiterate that that will be the split. The fourth amendment is a very simple one. On page 8 of the project list, a footnote was unintentionally omitted. This footnote has now been added back. It explains that the Neighborhood Greenway funding amounts assume that PBOT will also receive additional grant funds for some of the projects. And the fifth amendment relates to the Oversight Committee. It's a result of conversations with Commissioner Fritz, who suggested that committee appointments will be made by the commissioner in charge, but each commissioner will select at least one member of the committee, and we outlined which member would be chosen based on the bureau and other responsibilities of individual commissioners. So those are the amendments I propose, and I move the amendments so that we can put them on the table for discussion during testimony.
Okay. Further discussion of the package of amendments that Commissioner Novick described that are actually in a memorandum from Mark Lear at PBOT, which if anyone needs a copy, they can get one from Carla. Further discussion, roll call to put the amendments before us for consideration as well as the measure itself.
Fritz? Just to be clear, I don't exactly like the 56% repair to 44% safety ratio. I would have preferred it to be more like 50-50. It was the result of a long series of discussions in the course of the transportation funding discussions last year, and so I appreciate having it very clearly stated. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, thank you. Any other amendments to put on the table before we start with the presentation? Okay.
I'd now like to ask for Leah Treat, Mark Lear, and Steve Townsend to give the PBOT presentation.
Come on up, please.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner, for your introduction. And as you and the rest of the council are aware, we have been working for years to try to develop a proposal to address funding our street repair and safety investments in the city of Portland. So I'm really pleased today to be talking to you about our latest proposal that represents really a lot of hard work from neighbors and businesses and the many Portlanders who believe that we can and should do better. So this is the culmination of a two-year process that shows there's growing support to begin to address our long-standing maintenance and safety needs with this 10-cent temporary vehicle fuel tax. And the proposal that you have in front of you today refers that 10-cent tax to the ballot on May 2016. This proposal raises approximately $16 million a year, or $64 million over the next 4 years, and again, is a temporary measure. We have a list of specific projects for street repairs that will reduce costly rebuilds in the future, and a list of projects that will reduce injuries and fatalities. These projects are also going to make our streets safer for seniors to get to transit and for kids to get to school. And we're going to make many of these improvements all across the great city of Portland. Also, to ensure program accountability, and the ability to address changes that may occur as we implement the program, We're proposing a very diverse citizen oversight committee. So one of the hardest parts of my job over the last couple of years has been watching the immediate human, financial, and economic costs of further delaying increased investments in our transportation infrastructure. Sadly, last year marked another year in which traffic fatalities exceeded homicides in our city, a fact that highlights our traffic safety epidemic. Further, it is also unacceptable that our poorest and most diverse neighborhoods have fatality rates that are twice as high as wealthy parts of our city. Survey work that we completed in our recent funding conversation shows that Portlanders also want better maintained streets. 77% support additional revenue to repair our streets. 86% support additional revenue to make it safer for seniors to get to transit and for our students to safely travel to school. And while it's great news for us, for our state, for our city, that Congress finally passed a five-year federal transportation bill, the level of funding that comes to cities through that bill for street maintenance and safety is well below what we need. And our federal and state partners would most certainly agree that local solutions need to be a part of the fix. Last year, Portland City Club put together a research committee that was going to research the idea to end the funding gridlock. After extensive analysis, as you know, because the City Club presented to you as well, they recommended that Portland follow the lead of 24 other Oregon cities and immediately pursue a city gas tax. With that, I would like to turn the presentation over to Steve Townsend, our chief engineer, who is going to share some details about the maintenance proposal.
So the project list funded by this proposal will make a significant difference to the city. Oh, I mean Steve Townsend. I'm the chief engineer for transportation. Sorry. The primary driver for our street repair program is to eliminate future costly rebuilds. A dollar spent on preventative maintenance today saves multiple dollars that are wasted on future expensive repairs or rebuilds. Over the last few years, Portland has developed a refined strategy for maximizing our limited resources. This street repair proposal builds on these strategies by focusing on our busiest streets that serve freight and transit. Not only is the maintenance of these streets critical to our neighborhoods and businesses, but they deteriorate the fastest due to the volume and weight of the vehicles. This project list allocates $35.8 million over 4 years to street repair. About 90% of this revenue is allocated to pavement maintenance. Paving projects trigger federal requirements to bring ADA ramps up to standard. When those ramps are replaced in a paving project, it is the optimum time to address critical operational and maintenance issues, including signals, streetlights, and signage. Because of that, we have set aside $3 million, about 10%, so that these items can be done as part of the paving projects. In addition to the 29 miles of busy street paving, we have set aside $8 million to do spot base repairs at locations throughout the city. Base repairs are done where the street is badly cracked and slumping and has created safety issues for the traveling public. Performing these spot repairs keeps these areas from growing and becoming more expensive and eliminates the hazard. Our proposal for the street repair uses Portland's pavement management system, StreetSaver, which is an industry standard, to ensure that we are selecting street segments that are the most would benefit the most from street repair. This tool allows us to prioritize maintenance improvements on our streets of citywide significance. The following are a few examples of street repair projects that are included in our project list. One of them being Southeast Foster from 82nd to 90th. This project is within the limits of the Foster safety improvements, and it will leverage those improvements as part of the project. Another one is one you guys are familiar with, is Southwest NATO from Jefferson to Harrison. This project leverages $1 million from ODOT and addresses access to both the Hawthorne Bridge and I-5. And you may recall it was actually on the list for general fund and was approved, but with the Multnomah County's improvements on the Morrison Bridge, we pushed it out and reallocated that funding. And this project would be coordinated with the county's work on the Morrison Bridge to eliminate those traffic impacts. This proposed funding will provide one more tool in our toolbox to help minimize the long-term maintenance costs of our streets, which are used by all. Now, Mark Lear, PBOT's Resource Development Manager, will share details about the safety portion of this proposal.
Mark Clear, Portland Bureau of Transportation. The second major objective of this proposal is to do a better job of taking care of Portlanders. By this, we mean saving lives and reducing serious injuries, our Vision Zero goals, and providing safe access to walking and biking and transit citywide, with a focus on our poorest, diversest neighborhoods with the most broken transportation system. One of the things that makes me most proud of the proposal that we have in front of you today, and I think speaks to the improving public outreach we have around our projects, is the level of endorsement that we've gotten from groups like East Portland, activists that are working on the proposal, and the Transportation Justice Alliance as well. I think it speaks a lot to that growing power we have as a city to really identify the best projects. The other thing that we're doing, or the allocation under this proposal, will be $28.2 million towards safety. This additional funding will allow the city to make significant improvements in high crash corridors, around schools, and on our busiest and most used streets. This next slide gives you an indication of some of that public involvement that I was talking about. We've developed five programs working with the communities and neighborhoods over the last few years to really identify our most needed safety improvements. And this slide highlights those, and just let me give you a couple examples of some of the work that we're doing. So, for example, our high crash corridor program will provide improvements on 122nd Avenue, Northeast Sandy, 82nd Avenue. Our pedestrian network program will allow us to develop sidewalks in East Portland, Northeast 148th, Southeast 112th, Northeast 102nd, as well as Southwest Capitol Highway. Our Safe Routes to School program has done this amazing job. It's definitely recognized as one of the strongest programs in the country of working with parents and kids and identifying safety improvements around schools. And this effort will allow us to continue to move that forward effort and build those projects. In addition to that, we've identified critical safety improvements in neighborhoods that will improve safety for bicyclists and pedestrians, all modes. With our neighborhood greenway program, we're identifying two of the highest priority neighborhood greenways in East Portland. Those would be funded under this proposal, as well as additional protection for cyclists in our central city. I'll now turn it back over to Director Tree.
Thank you. So we also, in this proposal, want to ensure efficiency and accountability. So the proposal includes a very specific list of street repair and safety projects that will be delivered over the four-year program. And as Mark mentioned, this list of projects is based on extensive public outreach and was reviewed with Portlanders over the last year. We have also developed a diverse oversight committee to oversee the effort. The Oversight Committee will monitor revenues and expenditures and program project implementation, including recommending any required changes to the project list. They will also monitor utilization of minority-owned, women-owned, and emerging small businesses utilized and provide an annual report to the City Council.
Director Treat, on this, can we go one slide back?
Yes.
On this question of recommendations for adjustments to the project list, recommendations to whom?
So it would come to the Oversight Committee. Say, for example, if we go out and bid a street rebuild project and it comes in over budget, we would have to go back to the Oversight Committee to determine whether we want to allocate money from another project to do a more expensive rebuild or take that project off the list and come up with one, a new one altogether.
So the Oversight Committee would then make a recommendation to you, and you, are you then empowered to make that decision?
That's a good question. Can you help me on that one, Commissioner?
That's what I was assuming, actually, but maybe we should ask Kenny Gare if that.
Yeah, I think if the ordinance and the measure is silent on that question, then I believe that it would normally fall into your authority, Commissioner, and the Bureau's authority to reallocate project funds.
My interest here is making sure that we're very clear in terms of voter intent, so that if in those instances where there has to be some fine tuning, that we're clear about who has the authority to recommend and who has the authority to act.
Great, thank you. And also, I guess Commissioner Fritz's amendment deals with part of that, in that if we do have to do any of those reallocations, we do have to stay within the percentage split.
Right. And the code does say that there's an annual report to council, so there'll be, I would assume that it would be going through the usual director in charge and commissioner make those kinds of BR decisions, but then there's the report.
Yeah, and maybe just to add one thing, as 19 years ago I was hired by the city to build the capital budget, we would still be bringing our capital budget with these projects in front of council, and council would be approving those. So that's part of how you would see that happen as well.
Does that satisfy your question? Okay, thank you. So in closing, I just want to thank all the neighbors and businesses that have helped us to develop the proposal over the last 2 years. And I really believe the proposal that's before you today is a true testament to the smarts, hard work, and commitment from Portlanders to address this issue. And very specifically, I need to thank my Bureau staff, who has worked tirelessly for many years prior to my coming here on this issue. I think this is our fourth time at bat. Second for me, they are just an amazing staff. And I hear from everyone who has helped on this effort of how professional and hardworking my staff is, and I'm deeply appreciative. And I'm also appreciative to our modal advisory committees, the freight advisory committee, our bicycle advisory committee, and our pedestrian advisory committee. Each of them was briefed numerous times, and all three of them have provided letters of support for this proposal. So I think it's a very strong proposal in front of you today, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Other questions for Director Treat and her staff? Thank you very much. And then, Commissioner, do you have some invited testimony?
We do. I'd like to ask Fiona Yao Liu of Oregon Walks, Michael Tetta, representing the Community Cycling Center and the Transportation, the Community Cycling Center, and Marion Haynes with the Portland Business Alliance.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Fiona Yao Liu, and I serve on the board of Oregon Walks, our state's pedestrian advocacy organization. We are here today to support the efforts to fund safety improvements on our streets here in Portland. We are also here because we stand firm in the shared concerns of the Transportation Justice Alliance that the gas tax is a regressive source of new funding and is not the end solution to the funding and equity concerns with our current transportation system and budget. However, this project list that has been put forth today by Commissioner Novick steers needed dollars towards the areas of the city that need it the most. Earlier this month, a woman in a mobility device was hit on Southeast 156th and Division, the third pedestrian killed at this intersection in less than 4 years. This should never happen. No family should have to lose a loved one, much less two more families lose their loved ones at the same exact spot before change is made. It has been made all too clear that families in East Portland see the burden of this lack of investment in any other part of our city, and pedestrians in Portland are killed at an alarming high rate compared to the rest of the country. In 2014, over 50% of Portland's traffic deaths were people walking, compared to the national average of about 14%. It is undeniably clear that people need to be prioritized, and our investments have to be targeted in areas of the city where people are the most likely to walk and use transit and must do so on some of our most dangerous roads. The city has stated a goal to reach zero deaths on our roads, and we are excited to continue working on the Vision Zero action plan that will set out the path to reach this goal and reach it by 2025. We have committed to solidifying Portland as a Vision Zero city since 2013, and to get there requires undoing the drastic disparities that currently exist here. We urgently need funding to eliminate traffic fatalities. We must prioritize funding projects that will serve our city's goals and help the most vulnerable. We firmly reiterate our support for more progressive funding options, and we encourage you to move this proposal to the ballot for voters to decide. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity today. My name is Michael Tete, and I'm here on behalf of the Transportation Justice Alliance. Wanted to commend the efforts of the Bureau of Transportation and the Office of Commissioner Novick to prioritize investments in under-resourced parts of our city and offer our conditional support for this effort. I want to place an emphasis on the conditional nature of that support because we all know and we all feel that we have much further to go if we're going to see an equitable distribution of what makes this city a great place to walk, bike, roll, and catch a bus. We all know that something must be done to improve our streets. We also have a major concern with the increasing economic burdens faced by those who are already impacted by our failure to invest in their safety. With the number of traffic fatalities exceeding the number of homicides in our city, it's clear that our group is desperate to address what is an epidemic of traffic fatalities. We remain convinced that safe streets for all Portlanders should be a top priority, and a majority of residents want to see more money dedicated to seeing this happen, especially where conditions are the worst and individuals are the most at risk. This funding proposal with the current project list intact is a start, but we need to look forward to the partnership that we have with the city and the Bureau of Transportation to a future where the benefits and burdens of our transportation network are more equitably distributed. The regressive nature of the mechanism adds to a long list of regressive transportation fees and taxes and fails to protect our lowest income households from higher transportation costs, much less divide the revenue burden more fairly between residents and businesses. Thankfully, the projects listed in the proposal steer revenue to the areas of the city that have for too long been neglected and are unsafe. However, these projects alone do not solve the existing structural challenges in either the way the Bureau of Transportation allocates existing funds or determines overall transportation policies. Due to the regressive nature of the temporary tax on gas, our support for this effort is conditioned on the city and PBOT's commitment to identify and pursue less regressive future funding sources, to more equitably distribute existing resources, and an ongoing commitment to increase transportation investments in our most dangerous and diverse neighborhoods. If we're going to have a world-class transportation system that serves all Portlanders, we need the continued partnership of the Bureau of Transportation paired with new funding mechanisms to meaningfully reform the way investments are made for our most vulnerable road users. Over the next 4 years, we expect to work with the city and the Bureau of Transportation on progressive funding that continues increases in ongoing transportation funding to ensure we can begin to address the growing backlog of safety and maintenance projects, an investment analysis that will allow us to analyze the budget to provide clarity around the history, distribution, type, and current condition of investments made in our transportation network, and increased citizen engagement with a full review and restructuring of all current advisory and decision-making bodies to ensure the Portland Bureau of Transportation prioritizes its diversity, equity, and inclusion goals. We really hope that we can have the City of Portland's transportation system be something that we're extremely proud of, not something that we're increasingly embarrassed of, and we look forward to your partnership in that. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales. Council members, my name is Marion Haynes, and I represent the Portland Business Alliance. The Alliance represents over 1,800 small and large businesses from throughout the region. As you know, the Alliance has consistently supported a well-maintained and safe transportation system, and we have acknowledged that additional revenue may be warranted to address the longstanding backlog of deferred maintenance, the cost of which will only grow exponentially over time. A voter-approved gas tax with a sunset date meets many of the principles that we had identified at the start of the street fee discussion in 2014. It's user-based. It has very low administrative overhead. We appreciate the voter approval that the gas tax requires. And the gas tax couldn't be diverted to other uses because it's limited by the Oregon Constitution, the Highway Trust Fund. So we know that it's going to go for its intended purpose of fixing both the maintenance issues and the safety issues on the streets. I wanted to thank Commissioner Novick and echo Director Treat's comments that the staff has been really phenomenal on this over a long, long time. We appreciate the outreach to our members. We've had a couple of meetings with the commissioner. He invited us to participate in a meeting with Michael and some others to better understand both the different perspectives that we bring. We had been focused on maintenance, and we continue to be, but understand that there are pressing safety needs on the streets that need to be addressed, and so that was very helpful. Our support is also conditioned a little bit by a few factors. One is that and I expect this to be the case, but we want to make sure that these dollars are additive to what is currently spent on maintenance and that funds that are currently being spent on maintenance don't get diverted to other purposes. We need more, a lot more. This is a start, but it doesn't solve the problem. To that point, we think ultimately there ought to be some additional ongoing city resources, and we very much appreciate the work that was done during the last budget cycle with the one-time funds, and think that's a very smart decision to dedicate a portion of those to infrastructure improvements. But we think there ought to be more of that, especially at a time when we're asking voters to pay more. We would not like to see additional taxes and fees on this same user group during the 4-year period, recognizing that there may be others out there that aren't contributing at this point, and we don't have a position yet on the new idea, but are open to exploring ways to make sure that everybody is contributing to this shared responsibility. And finally, we want to make sure that vehicle road capacity is not impacted as a part of this. We really think the focus needs to be on those critical safety improvements and on just that maintenance backlog to try to begin to get ahead of this problem, which has been decades in the making. So we look forward to the ongoing dialogue on this issue, appreciate the committee that's going to be created in order to have some oversight on this, and look forward to hopefully working through a few of these issues and being able to give our full support. Thank you.
Can I ask a question, Mayor? Michael, the one thing about conditional support that's interesting is the conditions that you're putting down are to occur after this is either adopted or rejected by the voters. So on the theory that we're going to have to meet some of those conditions in the future, what I'm just curious, since we've been at this for a couple of years and we've had a lot of ideas put on the table, what constitutes progressive funding options that you want us to consider in the future?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for the question, Commissioner Fish. I think that there are a number of different funding options that we could consider short of a tax on gasoline that would provide more progressive and significantly less regressive options. Without falling victim and to jump into some of those solutions, I'd really look forward to an opportunity to work with you and your office, as well as the rest of the folks at the Portland Bureau of Transportation, to determine what is going to be the most likely and or most potentially impactful funding mechanism to get this done. As was mentioned earlier, we have a long way to go if we're going to be able to meet the challenges of an increasing backlog of maintenance and significant safety improvements, and we're going to need to look at absolutely every option that's available if we're going to be able to see the kind of transportation that we need to have in this city.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear your next group, please.
I'd now like to ask Corky Collier of the Columbia Corridor Association, the most alliterative man in Portland, to join us. Kem Marks.
You're going to start engaging in name calling at this stage.
He didn't say illiterate. He said illiterate.
Kem Marks.
Corky, you'll have as much time as you need to respond to this defamation.
Kem Marks, longtime East Portland transportation advocate, and Chow Fun Mendy, and two daughters, to talk about safe routes to school.
Thank you. I am Corky Collier of the Columbia Corridor Association. This is really about simple dollars and common sense. When we allow our streets to deteriorate badly, it ends up costing us 10 times more to repair them. Commissioner Novick likes to use the tooth decay analogy, and since he's sitting right here, I can't get away by stealing it from him. So I'll use the car wash analogy. If you don't wash your car, the grime starts to build up on it. Pretty soon, moss is growing on it. The rubber seals deteriorate. The paint comes off. Forget what it looks like. Your value, your investment is gone. The value of your investment is much, much less. So spending a few bucks every month to wash the car is going to maintain that investment. And that's really what we're talking about with our streets. It's not about spending money. It's about saving money. We're not talking about gilded streets. We are talking about the right amount of maintenance at the right place and the right time. PBOT knows how to do this. They only lack the funding. My back of the envelope calculations show that I spend about $8.50 a day on my 2002 Toyota. That's for insurance, repair, gasoline, everything. My wife spends about $25 a day because she has the newer Mazda. We both spend about 53 cents a day on the gas tax, 53 cents a day for our streets, sidewalks, bike lanes, bridges, 53 cents a day for all the infrastructure that $25 a day car is driving on. The average for an Oregonian is about $18.89 a day. And they spend about 50 cents a day, too, on the gas tax. It makes sense that maybe we bump that up just a little bit. 97 years ago, Oregon became the first state to create a gas tax, a nickel a gallon. Now, if we'd maintained, adjusted for inflation over all that time, that gas tax would now be about 70 cents a gallon. Instead, it's 30 cents a gallon. Now, we have a lot more extensive road system than we did in 1919, but we're only spending half as much to maintain it. If we could get away with it, that would be something to be proud of, but we haven't been getting away with it. It's deteriorating, and it's going to cost us a lot more in the future. So please, push forward with the gas tax measure on the ballot, but as you do so, I ask you to embrace two big concerns. One, the City Council needs to remain committed to fixing our maintenance deficit. The gas tax, this is just the beginning. This is a drop in the bucket for how much we're going to have to come up with in the future. So we need you to stick to your pledge to commit half of the bump to infrastructure. We need you to go back to the 1988 pledge to spend 28% of the utility license fee to transportation. It means being fiscally responsible in the face of the next overwhelming political issue of the day. The other big concern is equity. A few years ago, a gas tax was an obvious good solution, but that was before the arts tax, the library bond, the school bond, a number of new expenses that have weighed more heavily on the poor. Commissioner Novick is well aware of this inequity. I think all of you are well aware of this inequity. It's going to take your constant vigilance to continually support efforts that will offset yet another regressive expense. So please, move forward with the gas tax and keep in mind that, well, this is just the beginning of the struggle.
Thank you, Corky. Just wanted to note for the record, appreciate your support, but as you know, the City Council back in 1988, long before any of us served there, was putting utility franchise fee revenues into transportation. Then in 1990, the voters of the state of Oregon passed the Measure 5. The Oregonian at the time opined that this would lead to the passage of a sales tax and that that's how we would fund infrastructure in the future in Oregon. We're still waiting.
Oops.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Kem Marks, and as Commissioner Novick said, I'm an advocate for safety issues regarding East Portland. I'm on the East Portland Land Use and Transportation Committee and East Portland Action Plan. I represent both for the Outer Powell Safety Project and for the Powell Division Project. However, today I speak on behalf of myself and not representing those organizations. I support this tax, even though I am opposed generally to regressive taxes. In fact, when the streets fee was being discussed, I sat in this exact same chair and opposed that plan. However, I find that this is the most viable option that we have at this moment. I also support the idea of looking for more progressive ways of funding the projects. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your amendment for ensuring that the 44-56 split is part of the process or amendment or ordinance. I really appreciate that, and if it had changed and gone different, I would have been opposed to this project. East Portland has been demanding projects like the 122nd improvements, the 4M projects, and many, many more projects for a very long time. At least those two projects are on this list for going forward. The 122nd projects will allow TriMet to improve to frequent service, which is the only route, north-south route, in East Portland that even gets close to the Columbia Corridor, where Corky is the one of the lead people. These are very important projects to East Portland, and they will be very beneficial to East Portland. I'd like to relay, though, what happened today while I walked my daughter to school. I live on 130th. There are no sidewalks on 130th. We have to share the street with cars that frequently go 10, 15 miles above the speed limit. While walking my daughter to school today, she tripped in a pothole. She asked me where potholes come from. I gave her a technical answer about weather and cars and, you know, weight and all of that. What I didn't tell her was that there has been a serious neglect to deal with the issue of transportation in this city for a way too long period. I really am hoping that you will all put this forth to the voters so that we can try to address that those problems and maybe head in the right direction, a direction that we have for way too long been stagnant in and been in inertia. Thank you very much.
You. Welcome.
Thank you. I'd like to begin by thanking the City Council members and Mayor Charlie Hayes for letting me speak out in support of the gas tax proposal, and thank Safe Routes to School for reaching out to their network of parent volunteers. I'm present here today to express my support for alternative means to provide funding for protecting the fabric and livability of our city. My name is Chow, and these are my daughters, Lena and Naya, and they are both students at Hayhurst Elementary. I'm a resident of Southwest Portland, and every member of our family uses biking as transportation to school or work. My husband commutes 9 miles to Northeast Portland, and I have a seventh grader that bikes 2 miles to Robert Gray Middle School, located north of Beaverton Hillsdale Highway in the Hillsdale neighborhood. And my 2 8-year-old daughters pedal push their stout legs about 1.5 miles round trip to Hayhurst and home. For all good reasons, we encourage biking to stay active, to get fresh air, to respect our environment, to avoid traffic, and the best perk, to get front row parking. Biking is a value and an integral part of our daily lives, and this is only possible because of the bike lanes and safe routes on our commute. However, these must be maintained, repaired, and improved so that the safer routes are accessible to all residents. Each of our bike commutes have an inherent risk. I would like to point out my son's commute could be safer if additional funding better protected him from cars on Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. And where my girls bike, they could have visible signage and lights to cross Southwest 45th and Illinois Street, a busy intersection during peak drop-off and pickup times. Southwest schools, including Hayhurst Elementary, Robert Gray Middle School, were not built to house so many students and handle the amount of cars seen today. The public streets around those schools are unsafe when congested with so many cars. I'm going to go a little to add that I don't speak for Southwest Portland, and I speak on behalf of Safe Routes to School. They've been very supportive of the programs that we have, but I don't speak for the majority of the people in Southwest. There are not enough people that use the streets because there are no sidewalks and there are a few bike lanes. Funding Safe Routes to School programs and enhancement initiatives around schools and maintaining and repairing roads are necessary to ensure a healthy future for our city. Educating early the benefits of active commuting helps to improve overall wellness of our population. If the city could provide safer roads and better means to bike than drive, more bikes would be seen on the road. For Southwest Portland, I envision electric assist bikes weaving up and down the hills, but the reality is we need more bike lanes. To keep this brief in closing, the gas tax proposal will open a dialogue and conversation about what really matters to our city and what values we want to sustain and nurture. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Yeah, that's the end of our invited testimony. I just want to reflect for a moment on some of the testimony we've heard. I really look forward to working with Michael and the rest of the Transportation Justice Alliance on ensuring that we do allocate our resources in a way that's consistent with the diversity, equity, inclusion, and Vision Zero goals. I look forward to working with them in the future to identify more progressive funding sources for transportation. I will note that the gas tax actually is less regressive than the street fee we proposed over a year ago. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, a typical person in the top 20% of income spends about 4 times as much on gasoline as a typical person in the bottom 20% of income. So it's still not directly proportional income, but it is less regressive than an option we were considering 14 months ago. And I also really appreciated the Portland Business Alliance urging us to not reduce the amount of existing funding that we are addressing to transportation. I realize that these are tough budget times and there are other demands, but I hope that we will fulfill our historic commitments and comply with our resolution, which says that any one-time funding, at least half of it, has to go to transportation and other infrastructure.
Thank you very much. We want to move to the sign-up sheet, but want to extend an invitation to parents with small children or people with disabilities to come up first. We've already heard from one family here, and those girls did a great job, but we don't want to test our luck. So if there are people here with young children or who we need to get home to them, feel free to exercise the prerogative to come up first. And likewise, if there are folks here with disabilities that would like to come up first, we'll take them at the outset. And if not, we'll move to the sign-up sheet.
We have a total of 26 signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Terry Parker, Andy Shaw, and Chris Smith. And they'll be followed by Chris Finney Dunn, Leah Benson, and Hal Hagedorn.
Good afternoon. Terry, I think you're first.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Terry Parker, Northeast Portland. I obviously have my own hat on today, but I also believe I speak for a number of broad range of community members who feel the same way I do and I've had discussions with. With nearly half of the proposed gas tax revenue going to non-maintenance projects, and with over $800 million of proposed infrastructure to accommodate bicycles in Portland's TSP that often are referred to and masqueraded as safety improvements, any increased capacity for motorists is virtually non-existent and even being reduced with road diets. Bicycle infrastructure is not an entitlement program. There is also an enormous mass transit project list that will require an immense amount of taxpayer subsidies for operations, even though car trips are expected to increase by 49% over the next 20 years, regardless of how much mass transit service is added. Not only do TriMet's buses do the heaviest damage to Portland streets, but public transit on average uses more energy per passenger mile as measured in BTUs and creates more emissions per passenger mile as measured in CO2 than driving a fuel-efficient car. Transit riders on average are taxpayer subsidized at more than 60 cents per passenger mile. It is unjust to pile more taxes onto motorists rather than equitably and proportionately distributing some of the burden of payment to the users of the alternative modes. Without a tax on transit fares and bicycle-paid user fees to pay for supersized bike lane space and their huge I want list, such as barricading off Clinton Street for a bicycle freeway, a standalone increase in the gas tax is both tax discrimination and biased social engineering. Furthermore, the City Club concept of charging higher registration fees related to the weight of a car or light truck is an attack on the middle-class households that need to have a family-sized car or cargo capacity vehicles. Instead of continuing to unjustly profile and extort Portland motorists, the City Council needs to start providing more than just lip service equity. This includes proportionally adding motor-specific representatives to all of PBOT's advisory and oversight committees, stacking the deck with alternative mode users to advise how the dollars are spent, and not including the primary financial providers that pay for the majority of TSP projects is yet another outright form of motorist directed discrimination. The public process is clearly broken. Is this hearing just window dressing for a decision already made? When one user mode is taxed and the special interest modes are not, trust in government becomes lost. Taxes are rarely temporary. This gas tax increase measure needs to be opposed if it is not coupled with a tax or fees on transit riders and freeloading adult bicyclists. Thank you.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you. My name is Andy Shaw. Nearly 1 year ago, the City Club of Portland convened an all-volunteer committee to examine the city's street safety and maintenance funding crisis. I was a member of that committee last year. Our report, published last September, made three primary recommendations. First of all, that after decades of underfunding, many of Portland's roads, sidewalks, bike lanes had fallen into disrepair, adding up to an incredibly expensive and still increasing maintenance backlog. Deferring maintenance today increases the cost of repair exponentially, as you've heard already. It forces future city councils to choose between crumbling roads and vital services like affordable housing and public safety. Secondly, while roads in Portland have gotten safer over the past two decades, these benefits have not accrued across the city, as you've heard earlier. And the majority of fatalities have occurred east of 82nd, something that the committee found to be something we need to address now. Third, a local gas tax is the preferred method to raise the funds necessary to address all of these challenges. A gas tax is cost-effective. It can be raised through existing collection mechanisms already in place for state gas taxes and local gas taxes. a gas tax is fair. The more people use roads, the more they pay. A gas tax is equitable. On average, high-income householders drive more than low-income householders. A gas tax is comprehensive. Non-Portland residents who fill their tanks in Portland also are then paying to help drive on the streets that they benefit from. And finally, a gas tax has the added value of creating an incentive for more people to get around by walking, biking, transit, ride-sharing, leading to less congestion, less pollution, and fewer crashes. In order to fund the life-saving road improvements and cost-saving maintenance that we need, the City Club of Portland urges you to unanimously pass this ordinance and refer a 10-cent local gas tax to the May 2016 ballot. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Chris Smith. I am a member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission. However, I am speaking here as an individual informed by my service in that commission. I will admit that during the debate on the City Club report, I was in the minority arguing for a progressive utility fee as a better option to do this, but I am not a sore loser, and I am here to, without conditions, urge you to pass this measure today. We've been at this for a long time. I personally am an alumnus of the 2008 Safe, Sound, and Green Streets Committee, which helped prompt a small increase in state gas tax, but we quickly saw that absorbed by lost purchasing power and largely by the Selwood Bridge contribution that Portland made. We still have a tremendous need. And to connect some of the policy dots, the Portland plan, our strategic plan, recognizes that we cannot achieve our citywide strategies without new transportation revenue. And right now you're in the midst of considering the comp plan. That includes a TSP project list that is built on the idea of a constrained transportation project list. That is the things we think we can pay for. The assumptions that go into what we think we pay for include this revenue and more that it is expected that you will adopt. So if we're not able to do this, you have to start trimming that list because it won't be real. So I urge you to adopt this, I think, primarily from my role as a multimodal transportation advocate. We need our street network to be both maintained and to be safe, and this is an important step forward, and I urge you to adopt it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Okay. The next three are Chris Finney Dunn, Leah Benson, and Hav Hogadorn, and they'll be followed by Rebecca Hamilton, Jen Kavansky, and Ophelia Miracle.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Christy Finney Dunn. I am here on behalf of Oregon and Southwest Washington Families for Safe Streets, our group advocates for safer streets for all road users, whether in a vehicle, on a bike, or walking. The cost to join our group is extraordinarily expensive. The loss of life or serious injury to our loved ones on local streets. My son, Dustin, was killed in a bike lane on Division in 2011. Kim's son, Joe, was struck down in a marked crosswalk on Division. Cindy's husband, Marcos, died after a driver plowed into his vehicle at an intersection. And Christina's daughter, Mona, was seriously injured crossing a street near her school. I'm sure everyone here can agree that the price we have paid is more than anyone should have to bear. That is why we feel it is imperative that measures be taken to improve safety on our streets as quickly as possible. We cannot stress enough the urgency we feel on this matter. Our hearts, already broken by the loss and injury of our own loved ones, are shattered anew when we hear of another road tragedy and another family suffering the unimaginable. We truly believe that this devastation is not inevitable and it is not acceptable. That's why we urge you to put this gas tax for safer roads and the repair of streets before the voters. We feel everyone deserves to feel safe, to be safe, and to be comfortable on our local roads, whatever our mode of transportation. We don't want any more people to qualify for our Families for Safe Streets group. If we must contribute financially to make that happen, we personally are glad to do so, and we hope that others will join us in helping to make more livable streets for current and future generations. We feel it is the responsibility of all people to work together for the common good. You passed a resolution toward Vision Zero, and you must continue in that endeavor. We expect that you will commit the, that you will keep this commitment in mind and do what you must to make it happen. And on my own, for my own self, I want to say thank you for that, and thank you for the opportunity that I personally have to be engaged in that process. We don't want any more Dustins, Joes, Marcos, and Monas on our roads. Thank you.
Thank you for your advocacy. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Leah Benson. I'm here as a small business owner. I own a bike shop in Northeast Portland called Gladys Bikes. And I took time out of my day managing the shop because I strongly believe this gas tax is an important investment in the economic vitality and livability of the city of Portland. You can ask just about any entrepreneur, and they'll tell you that learning to manage the books and make thoughtful investments is a key skill in preparing for long-term success. The same applies here. And for over 30 years, the city of Portland has been unable to secure the necessary funding to keep up with the natural deterioration of our streets. The lack of repairs has big implications to my business and our community. Let me tell you, Portland is a pretty great city to own a bike shop in. We're known for great riding, exciting infrastructure, and safer streets. And as a result, we've got a whole lot of bike riders and lovers here. That said, we cannot continue to rest on our laurels and ignore the fact that many of our roads are in dire need of upkeep. The continued success of the bike economy here is a complicated web, to be sure. But having good roads to ride on is undeniably crucial to that success. If someone does not feel safe riding on our streets, she sure isn't going to walk into our shop's doors to buy a bike, much less ride it. It's time to implement a sustainable plan for the maintenance of our streets. That said, my support for this gas tax hinges on the City of Portland's commitment to partnering with the Transportation Justice Alliance to ensure that project development addresses equity concerns. It's critical that our investments in sidewalks, crosswalks, and safe routes to school programs help empower all citizens to share in the livable communities we cherish as Portlanders. So I ask you to please vote yes today to allow us Portlanders to make this investment in our city. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, my name is Howe Hagedorn. I'm here as a mom and a citizen of Portland. I am a mother of three kids, ages 6, 10, and 12. I believe that the city is desperately in need of investing money to make our streets safer for everyone. As a mother that sometimes drives, sometimes rides transit, but mostly bikes with my kids, we are confronted every day with the challenges and obstacles to safer streets. Two of my kids and I commute from North Portland to downtown every day to go to school and work. My oldest takes TriMet or bikes part of the way for his 5-mile commute to Da Vinci Middle School. Biking with my kids allows me to have many conversations with them about what they see and what they experience. And here are some of their experiences. My 6-year-old feels mostly safe biking to school, but the ride home is a different story. When we start heading up North Interstate near Kaiser, he yells, "Sidewalk." He wants to make sure I know that he wants to ride on the sidewalk because he feels much more comfortable being separated from the big trucks. He feels scared riding alongside big trucks speeding up the hill. When the city added wider buffered bike lanes on North Williams, I was curious about what my 10-year-old thought, since we often ride at home from school to basketball practice or his baseball games. And he really likes, he really likes the new bike lanes, and he feels much safer because the bike lanes were wider and he didn't have to play leapfrog with the buses. And his experience is coming from a kid that has been hit by a car in our neighborhood. So wider bike lanes are even good for 10-year-olds. So my 12-year-old in the last year has found a new sense of independence gained from a monthly TriMet pass and shouldering the responsibility of getting himself to and from school. He's very comfortable taking transit, but prefers to bike when he can because it is faster. He's the one I worry about the most because he wants to bike everywhere. And as a concerned mother, I know not all streets are equally safe. So here's a story just yesterday. He wanted to ride his bike to one of his after-school activities in Northwest Portland with his friend. I compromised by asking them to meet up with me on the edge of downtown, and we would ride our bikes together the last 0.7 miles. Why? Because he was in the middle of rush hour, there are no good bike facilities, it was dark, and I felt it was unsafe. So I was running a couple of minutes late, so you know how 12-year-olds are. I got a text from him, and it read, "We are at the post office, but we are going to ride to practice on our own. Where are you? You is all in caps for extra emphasis. And this is the reality I'm confronted daily. Please make our streets safe for my kids and for other kids in Portland. If you make